Thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings from Faith Radio. Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings here on the 3rd of October. I still can't believe I'm saying October. I don't even know what happened with September, but here we are, and I bet when we come to November, we'll be surprised by that as well. But on any of these days, I'm glad you're listening, joining us as we start our day together as believers from all around the country streaming live on the app. I think we have about 16,000 downloads of the app that you can listen live to the show. And we also are through affiliates all around the Midwest, like places in Fargo, North Dakota, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Waterloo, Iowa. I love just waking up and seeing all of the photos of the cities that are participating in the Faith Radio Network and thinking about you as brothers and sisters walking out this journey together and being part of a show here where certainly we will have guests that lean Republican or lean Democrat and their convictions. And of course, we embrace that reality. But all of our guests are also going to have an allegiance to the kingdom of God in ways that transcend any kind of political party, because we do serve the living king of a living kingdom that knows no end. And we will talk about the news and special interest topics from that perspective with real faith and with a genuine hope that regardless of what happens today, there will be future, and we will continue to be able to have this journey moving forward. So I'm your host for the show, Dr. Peter Kapsner, and of course, Logan Rausch is in studio right across the desk from me, pushing all the buttons, keeping the sound running smoothly, and Paul Perreault fills my desk with news every morning that we can get to and talk through, and certainly would love to hear from you throughout the course of the show, as we often do. You can call in or text the studio at 877-933-2484. Again, that's 877-933-FAITH. We love it when you participate as well. Well, excited for a couple minutes from now, we're going to be joined by Karen Swallow Pryor, who's been on Faith Radio Mornings many times in the past. She's a professor of English at Liberty University and does a lot of work just writing and thinking through the politics of our day. So excited to have her on. We're going to talk specifically about some of the Christian response to the hashtag MeToo movement. We saw it really take front and center in our country with some of the headlines out of Hollywood maybe a year ago with Harvey Weinstein, and it's increased from there. And Karen will help us think through how we can respond as believers to this, because the abuse that's been hidden for so long is finally coming into the light, and how can we start walking towards healing and hope and creating safe places for people to come out. Should be a great conversation with her. And then in the second half of this hour, we're going to talk with Jackie Hill Perry, who wrote a book about growing up and entering into the lesbian lifestyle, but deciding that she didn't want to walk that way anymore, and how she began to interact with God around her sexuality. It's a fascinating conversation in a book that she released. So great second hour of the show ahead. Before getting to Karen Swallow Pryor, though, I want to read a quote that we've been circling around this week on Faith Radio Mornings that comes from N.T. Wright, reminding us that as we walk out this journey in this world as believers, we really do have a call and we really do have a hope. N.T. Wright says this about the headlines and the darkness of the day, that if we're left to ourselves, we may end up with the general belief that things are getting worse and there's nothing really we can do about it. But we're wrong if we think that way. For our task in the present is to live as resurrection people in between the Easter that has been and that final day in which Jesus returns. And so our Christian life, corporate and individual, in both worship and mission, serves as a sign of the Easter that has been and a foretaste of the world to come. As we shine the light of God's kingdom in this world in the present, we're also shining the light of the future from which our hope comes. And so we do have work to do in the present, no matter how difficult things get. It's a great reminder from N.T. Wright as we're walking out life together as sisters and brothers in Christ, that there is really a hope to which we can attend. And with that, I see that Karen Swallow Pryor is on the line already, so we'll take a short pause. And when we come back, we'll talk more about the Christian response to the hashtag MeToo movement. Welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings. I'm your host, Dr. Peter Kapsner, and delighted to be joined in the line by Karen Swallow Pryor, who's been a regular contributor to Faith Radio Mornings. Love her perspective. She is a professor of English at Liberty University and serves on the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. Good morning, Karen. Karen, do we have you on the line?
I'm here.
Oh, there you are. So we got the sound turned up in studio. That's really helpful for you and I to have a conversation this morning. I love it. Say, I would love to just get an update from you. I know several months ago there was a pretty traumatic event with a bus crash in your life and some of what happened there. And you've written a little bit, too, about what you've learned in that process. Give our listeners a bit of update about what happened and some of the difficult things that you've learned as part of this traumatic event.
Sure. Back in May, I was walking in downtown Nashville, Tennessee, and stepped into a crosswalk and did not see the bus that was coming until it hit me. Mm. And so I spent 8 days at Vanderbilt Hospital with a fractured spine, fractured shoulder, fractured ribs, fractured pelvis, collapsed lungs, a head laceration, and month ago, I started walking again, and my recovery's been going well ever since then. So it was a very trying physical and spiritual time, and something that you certainly do not expect to happen. And but the Lord has been amazing, and the prayers of His people have been so encouraging. Mm-hmm. And I'm still walking through it, I think, and trying to figure out, just making sure that I know everything the Lord has to teach me through this experience.
Well, it's such a tough thing. I know that sometimes I live in the tension. Somewhere in the back of my mind, I know when things seem to be going smoothly in life, that it's a bit of an illusory bubble and things can shift just with a text or a phone call if something happens or some of these events. I mean, we really don't know what's going to happen in the future.
Absolutely. I mean, I just accidentally called my husband at his work yesterday, and of course he called me back in a panic, and I said, oh, sorry, it was an accidental call. And he said, well, I have a little PTSD from the last time you called me at work, because he's the one who got that call and had to drive 9 hours to come to the hospital and be with me because I was traveling on for work. And so it's that kind of thing doesn't just turn your own life upside down. It turns the lives down of everyone around you that loves you and is caring for you. And it has so many ripple effects. And that was one of the things that I wrote immediately afterwards about how sin is similar to that. Like, we can just take one wrong step and cause such damage to ourselves and to all of those around us just in an instant. And, we really have to be careful, and we have to be so grateful for God's grace.
Yeah, it's one of those things that is really where we're mindful of the idea that tomb is empty and there is hope in future, regardless of the present. It doesn't make the present necessarily easier, but there is at least a hope. I can't imagine walking through the trauma and the sin in our lives without that kind of hope.
Absolutely.
So it's Karen Swallow Pryor, who is English professor at Liberty University and has been doing a lot of work with the hashtag MeToo movement. It's something I'm really appreciative you wanted to come on the show and talk about this, Karen, a bit, because in all of the rancor that's going on and the politicization of the situation with women who have been abused, I don't want to lose sight of the fact that really the heart of this is that we have quite a bit of history in our country that's been hidden of women being treated terribly and being abused. I don't know if you can remember where you were or some of your initial thoughts when it was actually this time last year, October 2017, that some of the revelations came to light of Harvey Weinstein, the Hollywood producer, who obviously had an incredibly troubling past with women, the way he had abused them sexually. It all came into the light, and boy, that seemed to open the floodgates a bit on this conversation. Do you remember where you were or sort of what you were thinking about when some of these events made the news?
I don't remember where I would have been. It would have been, it was a year ago this time. I would have been probably seriously grading papers and teaching classes. And actually now, no one's asked me this, but now I do remember. I was actually teaching a women's literature class. And of course we were reading literature of from women across the ages, from the medieval period up to the modern period. And this was a recurring This sexual abuse and oppression is a recurring theme in women's literature. And it was actually a bit surreal to be teaching a course that I've taught many times before, but in the context where these things were happening in real life and these these complications and these ambiguities and the he said, she said dynamics of these cases. And so it just turned into some powerful teaching moments in my class and for my students who live in this environment of so much possibilities for sexual abuse and assault. And of course, we have not seen this issue go away. I mean, it's in the headlines. Here we are a year later.
And I think as we're starting to deal with these headlines and try to understand what the experience of women has been so often in our country, but as to your point, it's all throughout history, really, the way women have been treated and oppressed in so many different societies. It didn't seem helpful to me when the president came out and tweeted something about Christine Blasey Ford that, you know, she should have really come out and said something right away to her parents or to law enforcement. But boy, the statistics and any sense of having this experience, that's not how people respond. It is more common to stay hidden with these allegations for a variety of reasons, right?
Oh, absolutely. And if you are a person, in particular a man, who doesn't know a woman who has gone through something even similar or even to a lesser degree, do a little more talking, because that means the women around you are not talking about it, because most, the statistics show that most women do experience some form of sexual harassment or assault, and these are not things that we necessarily talk about, or if it's something of a criminal nature, it can be very difficult to go to the police and to report it, and there's guilt and shame and all of these things that we're seeing. So many reasons. If you took Psychology 101, just the basic course, you would be able to understand why any victim of this sort of behavior would be reluctant to come forward. And then, of course, what we're seeing, that the treatment that goes on and the response that we see in the news today just confirms all of the reasons why women don't come forward.
Well, and I saw that evangelical leader and teacher Beth Moore came out recently with a tweet where she said that he lived in my house, hashtag why I didn't report. And then the following day she added, make it a safer world to report and you'll make it a safer world. And that she really was speaking to the heart of the reason why so many people don't report. And to your point, I think it's a lot more pervasive than we would even hope to believe.
And that's why those of us who do care and do agree that these reports should be made right away for the sake of the victim and for the sake of justice, we need to be proactive and let the women and girls around us know that we are a safe place to go to. We need to teach our young girls safety measures, precautions to take, but also what to do if anything happens. I had parents who were very, very candid and forthcoming. And so when I was in high school and had all the teachers were older, but this gentleman was quite old, proposition me and make passes at me, you know, I immediately told my parents and we dealt with it. And that was a long time ago. But I knew I had the kind of parents that I could go to. And so it's so important to not just assume that the women and girls in our lives will come to us, but to tell them that they can, and to know, for them to know that sometimes these things happen and there are ways of dealing with it.
That's Karen Swallow Pryor, who is joining us. She's a professor of English at Liberty University and has been working on a lot of the headlines around the hashtag MeToo movement. Karen, when we come back from break, I would like to get your perspective on how the church can really help, because I would imagine that there's a lot of anger and a lot of power dynamics that are going to continue to be part of this reality. But can we move towards healing and hope together as well to see some reconciliation in this? So more to come with Karen Swallow Pryor next on Faith Radio Mornings. It's about 21 minutes past the hour here on Faith Radio Mornings, and we're joined in the line by Karen Swallow Pryor, and we're talking about the hashtag MeToo movement from a Christian standpoint. And Karen, I think one of the very understandable responses that happens first when things come into the light like this is real anger and a desire to see those who were in power lose their power because of how abusive it was. And that is an understandable first response, I think. But how can we move from that to reconciliation between one another as well moving forward?
Well, I've thought about this question a lot, though, only because of my work with Me Too, the Me Too and Church Too phenomenon, but because I just wrote a book on virtues, and virtue is the avoidance of either excess, you know, because human nature and human society has a tendency to go from one extreme to another. So we've lived in this extreme of much oppression and secrecy around abuse of women and their treatment. And now this is coming out into the light, into our natural tendency as human beings is to swing that pendulum in the exact opposite direction. But that only leads us to make errors in the other way. And so virtue is the mean between an extreme of excess and an extreme of deficiency. We were deficient in our attention to and care of women in general in the church and in the culture, but we do not correct that by going to the opposite extreme, by being overly vindictive or going on witch hunts and forgetting about forgiveness and restoration. It's very hard to find that virtuous mean in the middle that is just to both sides, but that's the hard work that we must set out to do, because that's the only way that we will stop this wild pendulum from swinging back and forth. And in both directions, it causes injustice.
But I'd be curious, too, to get your take on what the impact on men might be in these conversations in terms of what is the role for men to help bring healing. And then also, too, there's been some concern that's been voiced recently that what kind of environment in which our young boys are they growing up? I just got a text from a listener asking that question, is what does this mean for young boys and how they can grow up and how do we help them and educate them?
Wow, that's a great question. And as I was talking earlier about teaching our girls how to be safe and what to do if something happens, the boys need to be taught as well. They need to be taught what it means to respect women and what they is completely off limits to do. I personally know someone who has some light has been shed on his activities in the past, and he insists that he has never harassed women. And I think that some men, many men don't even know some of the behaviors they engage in, and they don't realize that that actually is harassment. So these are the kinds of things that we have to talk about, so that we're all at least understanding things from a similar perspective, because sometimes men think that they're just being playful or boys will be boys, and that is not how it is received at all. And so we do need to train and instruct boys, and then men, especially in the church, need to again understand that these things that have happened are much more common than we would believe, and we need to intentionally create a space and a supportive environment for women to know that they can come forward and share their experiences so that they can experience healing. And men need to be encouraged who may have engaged in behaviors in the past. There needs to be confession and repentance, and that's hard because we live in a climate where they probably don't feel welcome to make those confessions, just as women don't feel welcome to come forward with their stories. So we need to make room for all of us so that we can pursue restoration and healing.
It's Karen Swallow Pryor. We have just about a minute left, Karen, in this conversation. And in terms of, I teach a class on sexuality, and I know how pervasive it is for both young men and young women. And that's part of the issue here, too, isn't it, for both sides, really, is that the way we frame our sexuality, it's so exploitative and nearly violent, some of these pornographic images and shows that are being watched. To protect our young people from that seems to be an increase. It's always been important, but it seems to, you know, to be almost at critical mass time.
I don't know how we can stem the tide of that. I mean, porn is just anywhere and everywhere, on everyone's phones. And I think the best thing that the church can do is to present a robust, beautiful vision of human sexuality as God designed it. We too often have not talked about that and have not presented any picture at all or a negative one. And so the world has come in and filled that space with its damaging and very harmful portrayals. And so the church has to offer the true vision that God created.
Well, really appreciate your perspective and appreciate your work. I'd love to have you on here maybe as soon as next week again to talk about the book that you released as well, which is called On Reading Well, and it's Finding the Good Life Through Great Books. I know as we've homeschooled our kids over these past 10, 15 years that we have started with great literature, and they basically read that for the first 3-4 years of their life. So I'd be curious what you've learned in that process, and really appreciate you joining the show.
Thank you for having me. Love to be back.
Take a break for Breakpoint and bottom of the hour news. And when we come back for the second half of this hour, I'll be joined by Jackie Hill Perry, who released a book recently about her transformation from her life in lesbianism towards heterosexuality and what that looked like. It's a controversial issue. It's one that's tough to sort through, but she'll do a great job talking through this from her own journey. So lots more to come here on Faith Radio Mornings. Pretty timely Breakpoint from Stone Street there, given our next guest, Jackie Hill Perry, who's going to be talking about her life and experience within same gender relationships and sexuality. I know it's one of those issues to use a word that I've been introduced to recently is bumfuzzled. It means that we are perplexed or confused by so many of these topics and conversations. And certainly hearing from Breakpoint and thinking through this issue from that perspective is helpful. I know my students in my class really wrestle with it too. So really excited to have Jackie Hill Perry join the program and talk through this from, again, a ground level perspective of somebody who has experienced and walked through the reality of same gender attraction. That's coming up next here on Faith Radio Mornings. Yesterday on Faith Radio Mornings, we are joined by a great friend of the program, Dr. Bruce Ashford, and he was talking with us about how we, as people and citizens of the kingdom, can stay relevant and involved in the politics of our world.
We need to learn how to reframe the public issues today, the hot-button issues that are so disputed, that people are so furious about. And instead of always couching everything the same way the secular left and the secular right do, because a lot of the thought on both sides of the aisle is put in secular categories, we need to reframe those issues in light of Christianity's distinctive teachings, and it can make us interesting again. You know, so often we're just kind of a boring part of the nasty political feuds of our day because we fit so seamlessly and easily onto one side or the other.
Bruce is just so articulate yesterday on these issues. I would highly recommend catching his entire segment at myfaithradio.com. You can also go to bruceashford.net, where he talks about Christianity for the common good. He was featured on C-SPAN, or at least they covered a recent lecture that he gave with some pretty interesting questions and answers. So you can go to bruceashford.net or come to myfaithradio.com and hear that entire conversation. Of course, if you're listening, Bruce also announced that we are the best radio show in the country. So let's just say that the producers here are still shaking their head as my head can't fit through the door in the studio. Well, I see that we have Jackie Hill Perry on Skype coming up, and she released a very interesting book called Gay Girl, Good God, and she talked about her journey through lesbianism and into a different kind of relationship now. Pretty controversial issue, and glad that she will talk us through that next on Faith Radio Mornings.
I grew up knowing my dad loved me, but I never heard him say it. And it left a big hole in my heart. Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. Words have a powerful impact on people. Your verbal affirmation can give your family confidence, security, and a sense of warmth they can't get anywhere else. We've always been told that actions speak louder than words, but that's not always true. Sometimes saying, I love you, can speak to the heart of your child louder than any gift or action could. So play an active role in your teen's security and confidence. Go tell your teen and the rest of your family that you love them. Dad, Mom, say the three words to your teen. I love you.
Want to hear Mark in person? For a list of upcoming events, go to ParentingTodaysTeens.org. That's ParentingTodaysTeens.org.
It is about 20 minutes before the top of the hour here on Faith Radio Mornings. I'm your host, Dr. Peter Kapsner, and delighted to be joined by Jackie Hill Perry, who's a poet and an author, and recently released a pretty compelling book that is titled Gay Girl, Good God, The Story of Who I Was and Who God Has Always Been. And as we're in this conversation with Jackie Hill Perry, we do have a couple copies of this book that are available for giveaway. I know it'll be of interest to many of you. If you do want to put your name in for a drawing for one of the copies of this Facebook. You can text the studio at 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. And make sure to include your name, your email, and your mailing address. Again, your name, email, and a mailing address. You can text in studio for a copy of this book by Jackie Hill Perry. Good morning, Jackie.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm real compelled by the book that you released here as one who has been teaching gender and sexuality for the last 10, 12 years. It's been quite a ride with students and just the confusing issues around all of this. I'd be curious, as you released this book, Jackie, what has been some of the initial reaction? Has it been positive, negative, combination of both?
Positive for the most part. I think what seems to be happening is that people are recognizing how, even though same-sex attraction is a distinctive struggle of many and not all, that the struggle of sin generally is something that it might look different, but it's really all the same. And so I think people are growing in a sense of understanding and empathy because of it.
Well, certainly I know that it can be controversial in some circles in the sense that if you have same gender attractions, that is indicative of how you were created, you're made that way. And I know that a lot of people wrestle through this issue. For you, Jackie, when did you first start experiencing and realizing you had some same gender attractions?
Kindergarten. I think that's when I recognized it. And at that time I didn't have a name for it. I think kids now would probably know how to identify it or what to call it. But for me, it was just like, oh, I like that girl too. And so, yeah.
And early on, did you have an opportunity to chat with people about this? Did you feel like it was something to be hidden? I know, you know, young kids especially don't often know that, boy, this is something I should probably try to hide. Or how did you process early on like that?
Yeah, it didn't seem like that would be something I should discuss openly and outwardly. But I think when I started to go to church is when I definitely saw that was something I shouldn't discuss, just because that's when I found out what the name for it was and how it was described and the way in which it was talked about from the pulpit. Just kind of let me know that this was something that people did not approve of too much.
Well, and what did that do for you at that time? I mean, in terms of your perceptions of God and at the church, I mean, you have obviously a pretty profound experience happening in your life, and yet you're receiving some of the messages that you did. How did you process some of those things early on?
I don't really think it was something I really thought of. It was just like, oh, okay. It wasn't like I took it too seriously. I think my perceptions of God were so much more than, oh, he hates this sin is what they're telling me. It was, no, he's just a boring God because he hates all sin. And so it just looked like, oh, God just doesn't want you to do anything that you want to do. Got it. That's kind of how I saw Jesus for a long time.
Yeah, it makes sense. And I would love your perspective. I know there's these cliches that get tossed around, and I don't find situations in which they end well, actually. But when people say, well, hate the sin, but love the sinner, that doesn't seem like a super helpful cliche in these kinds of circumstances.
Yeah, and I don't know who came up with it. I guess people try their best to create sayings or ways to live out obedience to the scriptures and love people and love God in a way that is easy or tangible. But I just always find it fitting to just say what the scripture says. So love God, love people. You do that, you'll do it well.
I get the question often about how we can walk alongside one another in this, and I'd love to get to that more maybe in our next segment. But getting back towards your childhood, and you mentioned it was kindergarten. As you've moved into maybe fifth, sixth, seventh grade and some of these middle school, junior high years, what happened at that point?
I think that's when it got harder, just because that's when your friendships, I think, become a little deeper, a little more intimate to the level of a 12-year-old, of course. But that was when I would be with friends and, you know, some would happen and they would grab my arm to laugh and it would feel good, or we would go on a roller coaster and they would sit next to me and grab me and all of that. And I was like, wow, I really like to be touched by a girl. And I really want these friendships to be more than that. But at the same time, it was not as if I ever, at that time, I wasn't willing to call myself gay or willing to say that what I was feeling was actually what I was feeling. So it was both an experience of pleasure while at the same time denying that it was pleasing to me. if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense, Jackie. And if you're listening this morning, I know many of you are texting in already. We do have a couple of copies of Jackie Hill Perry's book called Gay Girl, Good God, The Story of Who I Was and Who God Has Always Been. You can absolutely text in the studio at 877-933-2484. Just include your name and your email and your mailing address, and you'll be entered into a drawing for a real important book here. And Jackie, I'd be curious then, what happened after maybe some of those, you describe them well, when you're maybe touched by a girl and some of the feelings that emerged from that. When did you take the next step and say, you know, I want to actively pursue now same-sex relationships?
Yeah, when I was a senior in high school, I was at a high school dance, and a girl that I knew from middle school, she had came up to me and was like, hey, Jackie, you should be my girlfriend. And I was like, whoa, that was abrasive. And so it seemed real bold for her to like approach me that way. And so initially I declined, of course. And in the book, I talked about how I had to look straight and I had to look very heterosexual. And so I was like, no, I'm good. But when I went home, I just could not get her offer out of my mind. And I just had to make up in my mind, this is something I've been wanting for a long time, something I've been wanting to walk out in. This is who it feels like it would be more natural to me to do it. And so I just made the decision that I was going to take her up on her offer, and I hit her up on MySpace because that's when MySpace was a cool thing. And we began a relationship that was very short-lived, but it was a relationship that made me realize that this is more... I'm more willing to do this than I'm willing to be with a boy.
It's Jackie Hill Perry, and we're having a very important conversation this morning just around her book, Gay Girl and Good God. And Jackie, when we come back from break, I would love to keep going in this part of the journey in which, what were some of the reactions as you began to embrace publicly these same-sex relationships? And then what happened in your life that some change happened as you began to interact with God? So lots more to come here with Jackie Hill Perry on Faith Radio Mornings. Welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings. I'm joined in the line by Jackie Hill Perry, who's released a very important book called Gay Girl, Good God. And we're talking about same gender attraction and walking through that as part of the journey of life. If we do have a couple of copies to give away, and I see the texts are coming fast and furious into the studio. So if you do want to be entered into the book giveaway, you can text at 877-933-2484. And just make sure you include your name, your mailing address, and your email, and you'll be entered into that drawing. Jackie, before the break, we were up to the point in your story in which you described experiencing sort of this reaching out, getting hit up on MySpace for the possibility of a same-gender relationship. And what happened in your life in terms of your relationship with your family at this point, maybe with your church, as you begin to embrace some of these attractions that you've had since you were a child?
Yeah, I didn't go to church at that point, and so I didn't have to worry about that. But I was in a relationship with another woman for like a year before my mother knew. So I just told her that, you know, this is my best friend. We just hang out. But after a while, my mother is discerning enough to know that my daughter is an introvert. She's never had a best friend that's over the house every single day. Even the way we related was very intimate in ways that I think were beyond the level of best friend relationships. And so when she did find out, and the interesting way in which she found out, which I talk about in the book, is through talk radio. And so I won't go into that. But when she found out, she was more hurt and betrayed because she felt as if I was doing stuff in her home and in her house under her nose without communicating that with her. But she was gracious in a sense. I didn't feel shamed at all. But I did feel very vulnerable and very exposed. And so, yeah, it became weird to be known by your mother that you like women. And knowing that her dreams of what I guess her daughter would be and become were pretty much murdered in a moment.
I think it's one of those things that we don't talk about enough in terms of what just hour by hour daily life walking in each other's shoes can be. We sort of reduce each other down to issues, but to the way you describe it in terms of what it's like to have to walk that out, I can't imagine how difficult that is. And what happened from there, Jackie, in terms of the next couple of years? I know there was a moment, and you describe it in the book, in which you began to question some of your same gender attractions and you began to think, is there a different future? So talk about what happened here.
Yeah, I just started to, I never was convinced that it was okay. I never, I never thought that. I knew that just from my own reading of scripture, I knew that what God had to say about sexuality was that, you know, one man, one woman, one flesh is what marriage was to be. And that I was to deny myself, deny my sexual temptations. But all of that seemed foolish. And it seemed impossible. It seemed as if holiness was only for a distinct few of humanity. And so when I started to feel the convictions for my sin, it was like, oh, I just don't want to be a Christian, though. Like, nothing about Christianity seems appealing to me. They don't seem to be happy. They don't seem to have fun. They wear dresses all the time. They listen to, you know, CCM. I'm all right. But it was when I was 19 and the Lord spoke to my heart about my sin holistically, that I saw it for what it was. And so it wasn't just lesbianism that I saw was my problem, but it was unbelief. It was that everything that I loved and enjoyed was antithetical to God's righteousness and God's holiness and God's word. But I also really saw Jesus for the first time, which I really believe what was happening in that moment was 2 Corinthians 4, which was that God was letting me see, lifting the veil so that I could see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, so that it wasn't me trying to escape hell. It wasn't me being like, oh, I need to be straight. It was that I saw that Jesus was better than everything. And in Jesus being better than everything, he was the only proper alternative to my life of sin. He was the only one worthy to be believed and trusted in. So that's what happened.
Oh, it's such a powerful moment that you describe, Jackie, and in the book as well. And what I'm really compelled by then, after these sort of realizations, and I think we can say not necessarily a conversion moment in the way that we think of the word conversion in the Christian faith, but there really is a change of mind that happens. But but from there, right, everything was just perfect. It was like God was a genie in the bottle and everything
You're
was
correct.
Just fine, right, Jackie?
You're correct. I became an angel.
I bet.
Seconds. No, it was terrible. It was terrible because now I had to make decisions. Now I had to break up relationships. And so the hardest thing to do initially was to break up with my girlfriend, because I knew we couldn't continue to love each other and I would be able to love God if that was the case. And so I called her and I said what I had to say. And there was a real grieving of the death of that relationship for a good year and a half. When I would see her picture, I would cry and I would hear her voice and I would constantly have dreams about her where I missed her. And so it was just really hard to have to leave somebody you really love. But I knew that the gospel demanded that much. I had to change my clothes because for me, I dressed and projected a kind of masculine self. And so I wanted to change my clothes specifically because I knew that I would attract the women that I was still attracted to in many ways. And so I felt like it would be the wiser thing to lean more feminine, not hyper feminine, because people are still weirded out by the fact that I don't wear purses. But I had to figure out the balance of being myself. While at the same time projecting the gender that I believe God created me to be. And then finding a community. It's a terrifying thing to put yourself into a community that has not loved you well. So I'm grateful that God immediately just introduced me to a church of people that really just loved me as Jackie, not Jackie the ex-lesbian, not Jackie the person who has sexually immoral issues, not Jackie who's come out of this, like, you know, they didn't love me that way. They just really loved me holistically and just taught me how to love God and love his scriptures and love his people and walk in my gifts.
Oh, Jackie, we're out of time, unfortunately, this morning, but it is such a compelling story. And you just said that last part so well. And I think many of our listeners would love to hear more from you about how to continue walking this out as people of faith. We'd love to have you back on Faith Radio Mornings if you're game.
For sure. Let me know.
Great. Well, thanks for joining us this morning. And you know, if you've been listening, that we do have a couple copies of her book, A Gay Girl, Good God, to give away. You can text the studio with your mail-in address and email and name, and we'll enter you into the drawing. And of course, you can go to Amazon and pick it up. I highly recommend doing just that. So we'll take a break here and wrap up our show on Faith Radio Mornings. Wow, I have to say I'm a little bit blown away by that wonderful interview with Jackie Hill Perry. You know, we talk to people all around the country, and you sort of get used to talking to big names and people that are in the news. But that conversation just really has me, I guess, on cloud nine in terms of somebody who really is walking out their faith in a tricky issue and describes it well. So loved having you on the program. Love you listening. And we'll catch you tomorrow for more conversations like this on Faith Radio Mornings.
Again, thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings. You can hear other podcasts at myfaithradio.com. Plus, remember, we are listener-supported, so your support makes Faith Radio Mornings and the other programs from Faith Radio possible. Make your gift at myfaithradio.com.